So that's your sign that school is back in session. And so is everything else. Summer is coming to an end, and we're joined here now in the studio by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger. How are you?
I'm good. It's been an eventful week.
It has been an incredible... We were talking before about just all of the things that we wanted to talk about here today and all of the things that you've been doing. And after about 5 minutes of that, one of us looked at the other and said, oh, yeah, there was a total eclipse of the sun earlier this week.
On Monday. It was a great experience. We had a large crowd show up at the Moorhead, but we put on a special event over at Hargraves Community Center. We've worked with Food for the Summer, and I'll give credit to Jeannie Brown, my aide, who put this amazing tribute together so that kids who are here would have an opportunity to view the eclipse and learn about it. And our IT staff showed up and put together a big screen that they plugged directly into the gigabit to show from NASA with the happenings. We had pinhole viewers. We had glasses to share. We did safety tips, face painting. It was just the kids had a ball. Fruit cut into the shapes of our planets and stuff, and a lot of activities. It was a great experience.
Wait, fruit cut into the shapes of planets? Would they all be just spheres then?
Well, there was the moon, you know, the crescent and star shape.
How did they do the rings around Saturn?
We drew that on the sidewalk.
Okay, good.
That was good.
All right.
That was a lot of fun, and a lot of people participated. We had about 300 to 350 kids over there, so it was a lot
Very
of fun.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll remember that always. So,
okay.
And I went last week to a Mayor's Innovation Conference in Burlington, Vermont, where we had a lot of good discussions and topics. This is mayors who come together, usually about the towns about the size of Chapel Hill, around that, a little bigger. Mm. And we talk about things and issues, and they have presentations, and it was fascinating, brought back some real information that I have to get some time to decipher and put back out. Because the week's been rolling along. Today, spoke in front of the Orange Chatham Realtors Association and talked about the good things going on in Chapel Hill. That was a lot of fun. And then a water quality conference today as well, and Piedmont Health, with their announcements and all that's going on. There's been just a lot of great positive energy going on. Food for the Summer, by the way. This is our last week.
Yes. Last 2 days, right?
Yeah,
today
last
and tomorrow.
Two day,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, today and tomorrow, you're right. And as of the August 11th, 46,000 meals served
awesome.
In our community. Yeah, and a lot of enrichment activities and things going on. It's just been an amazing year again. Today's Thursday. Tuesday night, there was an event to announce the new branding of the Ephesus, Fordham, Eastgate, Rams Plaza area. It's now going to be called the Blue Hill
Blue
District.
Hill, yes.
So this is a very, I find an appealing name, and be able to distinguish where you are and what you're going. But all the activity going on there, new restaurants opening up, Babaloo's is opening up, Google Hoff will be opening up soon, Zoe's Kitchen opened up recently. There's just a lot going on. It's really
I got to get over to Eastgate because there's like been four new places that have opened up there just in the last time. Babaloo's opening next week, right?
Yeah, it's, on
I think
Monday.
Soft open already, but
yes.
real opening
yes.
next
yes.
week. Yeah,
so really, really cool. And we're still working on the walkability piece that's coming forward there, but you really can walk around between all these places now. So get over there, whether you take transit or you drive your own car or your bike or walk, you can access all these places now. That's the goal, that you can go on foot between all these places. So it's
awesome.
Really cool. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Tell me if Blue Hill had to happen, because everything in Chapel Hill is required to change its name at least once, right?
No.
We're in University Place, formerly U Mall. Down the road is Carolina Square, formerly University Square.
Yeah, I think people look for positive, appealing names, and these were the bigger property owners
coming
together to come up with a name that meant more than just two road intersections, because Ephesus and Fordham, and while we still call it the Ephesus Fordham or the EF form based code that helped promote some change there. The district's going to be called Blue Hill, and I think it's just appealing, especially if you're coming from outside our community, to understand that there's a district called that. So I think that's really cool.
Awesome. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, I want to get to Silent Sam,
yes,
which is the thing that is on everyone's mind.
I get a lot of calls.
Before we do that, anything else going on in town? Because I feel like when we start talking about Silent Sam, that's going to be it.
Yeah.
So anything else that you want to get the word out
about? Well, looking ahead next week, the forums have started for the candidates' races. We had the one with the chamber. We had coffee with candidates yesterday with the chamber. It went really well. And then next week, there'll be the Friends of Downtown Forum on Thursday, I believe. And then on Friday, the council has its economic sustainability meeting, where we get the updates on the projects going on and have discussions about moving forward. Very excited about our light industrial zone, which up in Burlington, they call it an enterprise zone. So I want to incorporate that name. That kind of describes it better, because there's different kinds of businesses and activities that I think are more reflected by the word enterprise zone.
Mm-hmm.
So really kind of cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Again, speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger. So Eclipse was Monday. Tuesday was the day of the rally at Silent Sam. And last week, I know you were at the you were in Burlington, right? And we didn't get a chance to talk last week. But end of last week, you sent the letter to Chancellor Folt and kind of like either was contributing to starting the ball rolling or actually got the ball rolling on the process of saying, hey, let's take down Silent Sam and at least as a public safety gesture. Anything that you can say about sort of the conversations that are happening behind the scenes with Chapel Hill and UNC and state officials? I know Governor Cooper weighed in and a number of people in state government are weighing in as well. What is going on behind the scenes here with this conversation?
Well, I don't know all the things that are going on behind the scenes, but I'll tell you that we were trying to find a path that would help promote public safety and historic preservation, and I think Silent Sam could be a great teaching tool of the future. Silent Sam has been protested for decades. This is nothing new. But public safety with all the things that are going on that happened in Charlottesville, we were trying to find a path forward. And again, we have a lot of citizens that email and call. Silent Sam is on university property, which is state-owned. It's not on town property. Mm-hmm. So we try to work with our partners and collaborate. We were trying to find a path forward, especially since the event that happened in Durham and that the governor gave a path forward. Now, as I said, and I'm quoting the paper, saying that puts the university in the crosshairs between the governor and the state legislature saying, no. You know, how do you work forward through that? I don't have those answers, but I think there's an opportunity here to make something happen. What that is, I can't tell you. As a town, we would like to see Silent Sam move to a different location, preferably indoors, because it becomes a focal point for people to gather. And we worked really hard in collaboration with the different public safety groups to try to make sure Tuesday's event, which was spearheaded by the students of UNC, but we had word from outside groups that were going to come be part of this rally. And so we had to prepare for it to be big or different groups coming together. So we needed to be prepared for that because it affects our streets. Silent Sam is on university property, is very close to Franklin Street in town. Mm-hmm. And truthfully, there's very few places to park on campus. So people who are coming from outside the community or within the community who aren't already on campus would need to park in town. So we collaborated. We worked together. We tried to make sure people stayed safe. We aren't there protecting the statue. We are there protecting people from getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Tensions run high in this situation. Anxieties are high. We get a lot of people who are concerned for their safety. We've been reaching out to our faith-based organizations and the NAACP to have conversations about, you know, our values are part of us, and we work together. We want people to feel safe and welcome in our community.
I've been eager to talk to you about this all week long because I've been sort of observing all of this, and I'm troubled, and I'm also troubled at the fact that I'm troubled by the idea of saying let's bring down Silent Sam for public safety purposes, only because. The reason, and I think people are on the same page in terms of wanting to bring down Silent Sam, but the reason that we want to bring it down is because it glorifies white supremacy. A public safety argument when, I mean, so far, the confrontations that have happened in places where there has been a conversation about bringing down or moving the statue. So it's the conversation that leads to the protests and the rallies and the demonstrations and eventually the confrontations. If it's just a public safety concern, then the quote-unquote right course of action would be not to say anything, not to do anything, put your head down and hope that people forget it. The reason that's not the right course of action is because the statue glorifies white supremacy. Yes. And I want that to be front and center as the reason we want that statue taken down, because it is.
I'd like that to be front and center, too, but the anxieties are so high, Aaron, on both sides. We are getting bombarded in our office from people all across the state who consider UNC and all the campuses to be the entire state's property. Mm. And they feel very differently from us in our own community here. And if the statue was in our community, on our town property, that would absolutely be how we would go about it. But in order to get, I won't say buy-in, but to find that path for the state legislature to be willing to work with us to take it down. We thought it was better to go a path of public safety because we found that clause in the statute. Mm-hmm. So we thought if we can work at the channels and get the same outcome, then we don't have to raise people's anxieties on both sides, because then, I'll be honest with you, it does come back to public safety. We know how we feel in Chapel Hill. We know we don't want people here spewing hate. We know that we want respectfulness for everybody. We don't want to glorify white supremacy ever. That's not who we are. The truth of the matter is people do get very passionate about this both directions, and we were trying to keep other groups from weighing in, showing up, and causing more distress and more anxiety and public safety issues, people getting hurt. Mm. I mean, even the students who are rallying had a hard time holding back their frustrations at our own public safety officers who were there to keep them safe. Now, however you want it looks like a show of force. Well, to be honest with you, we had no idea whether we were going to get 5 people or 5,000 people. And you have to plan. You don't want to plan for a small group if you think a big one's showing up and then be in a bind when they do.
We were talking about that all week with what happened in Durham, 2 rallies, one on Monday and one on Friday. And in both cases, the law enforcement there got criticized, once for not going far enough and the other for going too far. And in both cases, you can't plan, you can't know in advance what it's going to be.
No, that's
a really difficult
and
position
when you,
for law
you know,
enforcement.
We talk about celebrations like Halloween and the NCAA tournament, national tournament was great, but people were in a joyous mood.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to police and plan for that. When you have people passionate in both directions, you have to be concerned for public safety for what erupts out of that.
Yeah.
And again, not wanting to open that door to invite people here who are going to spew hate. We were trying to let people rally, and I'm delighted the students wanted to take a stand. It's their right to do so. It's on their campus, and to say that. From a town's point of view, absolutely we want it to come down for all the reasons you've stated. The minute we go out there spewing that, we're going to invite all these crowds
right
there.
And that's actually a really good point, too, about like Halloween and especially the NCAA championship, because I was on Franklin Street for the NCAA championship. Huge bonfire, people were climbing poles, and you're right, it's easier to police that when people are excited and
they're
happy.
Celebrating.
I would never have wanted to have been Chief Blue on that night and try to figure out how to police something like that. And that's the easy one compared to a potential demonstration like this. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And it's fascinating to me that people from outside our community are trying to tell us how we should feel as a community about certain things. And I say to them, while we hear your opinion, we are who we are, and we value diversity, we value respect, we are inclusive, and we don't value things that represent hate.
So what's the town, speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, what's the town doing to plan for what we assume is going to be continued attention, potential more vigils, people protesting, demonstrating? We have to assume there's going to be more of that down the road, especially this semester. So what are the plans?
So we work with the university. The ball's in their court as far as what happens there, what takes care of. We are in charge of what happens in our own community out right on the edge of the university. That being said, we do collaborate. We do share information. As of now, no permits have been pulled by anyone. There have been inquiries, but no permit has been pulled by anyone to have any sort of demonstration at this point.
What is the process? And actually, just occurring to me now that you mentioned permits, what is the process for getting a permit for a demonstration in Chapel Hill?
So there's two different processes, because the university has its own process, and their process is for speaking at the pit in their area designated for that. That's not a march. You may not bring weapons onto campus. That is speaking in the pit and having a rally there. People can pull a permit by First Amendment because it's state property. They're allowed to do that. In the town, you can ask for a permit to be at Peace and Justice Plaza or to march in the street. We have the ability to, I won't say decide, but sort of we have to work within time constraints, and we don't close the street just because someone asks us to. That has to be all worked through for public safety reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the permitting process, and then we have to expend the resources to take care of that. So the minute we know something, if some group that's not part of this, it's not part of our community, wants to come here, we would absolutely let people know what was going on. That's why I reached out to some groups to say, you need to be aware that there's been inquiries. There has been no permit pulled or even filled out any of that as of this point.
Mm-hmm. Is there a time frame for, like, because I'm thinking about this, because Durham with the the controversy on Friday about, oh, there was a rumor that the permit had been granted, and then Durham officials said, well, it's a three-week process. How long is it in Chapel Hill typically?
It's anywhere from 48 hours or more.
Okay.
It depends on what's going on and if the other people are planning to be there, if we have work that's going, if other things are going on in town. So that's what our process is for now. And the manager decides that along with his staff and the public safety officers.
Yeah. Speaking with, again, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and the closure of the street on Tuesday night took me a little bit by surprise because I didn't, and again, this is why I don't want to be the chief of police in Chapel Hill, didn't even occur to me that the march was going to spill onto Franklin Street and they were going to go down. Chapel Hill Police, I presume, anticipated that and acted accordingly.
That.
Yeah,
that was
good. I mean, we're not talking about that so much today, and this is one of those instances where you want the police presence to be something that you don't talk about later, right? And the fact that that just happened and everything was fine, I think, is a really, really good job on the part of the Chapel Hill Police.
We have an amazing police department. We have amazing leadership. They were prepared with public service vehicles so that there'd be safe ways to not just cones or people or police blocking the streets if we needed. They were waiting in the outskirts to be ready to pull in if we needed. And they work really, really hard. And it's interesting being a university town. There's different training that you need to have when you work with students. I mean, there is. And you've got to be ready for the spillover onto Franklin Street. You've got to be ready for spillover onto South Columbia. So you have to be ready at many different points with that. And you have to realize that these are students and they do get fired up and they are impassioned. But again, we want to be prepared. We work with the university on this. Carver's public safety crew came in, Orange County Sheriff's, and we had some state support in case we needed it. So getting prepared. Again, we wanted to keep people safe. We're not there protecting the statue.
Yeah.
Keeping people safe.
I've got to ask about this because we haven't mentioned this on the air, but this email came a couple of days ago, I think, to the town council, and it's you can get the email, the town council emails online. So we saw this a couple of days ago. Alamance County taking back Alamance County, which is the pro-Confederate organization one county over, emailed the town and offered to buy Silent Sam and take it away.
Sold, right? We don't have that authority.
Tell the General Assembly it's private enterprise.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'd be looked on that way. So I do tell people it's a little different with Silent Sam. He's made out of metal, so he does not going to topple as easily. So I think that's one reason you haven't seen anything happen there as well. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and as we wrap up, what else should people know about this issue, about the town's role, what people need to know and what people can do going forward?
Basically, that we're trying to keep people safe. We're trying to keep other groups from descending upon us. We want to be prepared, although that takes resources. So we're trying to make sure that we coordinate with our partners, as I said, and that we're out there always advocating for our values. Again, the decisions that come down will come down through the state at some level, whether it's the governor's office, the attorney general's office, or the state legislature. I do say that the universities in a difficult position.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.